It's good to be with you, and yeah, it's good to have our old song leader back. Thanks. Yeah. I think as we view what's happening in our world today, we should be standing on our tiptoes. Christ could come back, and before our service is over, he could arrive, and we'd be out of here. And that would be great, don't you think? So let's just open in a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you that Jesus is coming back. And we thank you, Lord, that we can look up to you, and we can know that if you went away, and you told your disciples, I go to prepare a place for you, that if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. We thank you, Lord Jesus, you want us with you. And so that's really exciting. So I pray that you would fill our hearts with joy as we look into your word today and look ahead expectantly for your coming. In Jesus' name we are. All and all God's people said, Amen. So, this morning is a beautiful morning, and I thought of this as I was out for a short walk. Jesus is coming soon. It may be morning or night or noon. It will be morning or night or noon somewhere on the planet when he comes. Some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, battles all won. He'll shout the victory, break through the blue. Some golden daybreak for me, for you. And I also thought of that great song, surrounded by his glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in my awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees will I fall? Will I shout? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. We can only imagine, right? There's another little chorus that says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I'm not sure about you, but I'm sort of a sports nut. I enjoyed participating, and I enjoyed competing. But I think most people have been galvanized at their TVs to hear the results of each race. Bill? We have how many have taken part in sports, in run a race? Yeah. How many in not just athletics, but in academics have kind of used the same kind of principles? You have to kind of set things aside, and you have to concentrate and be single-minded if you're going to succeed at your studies, right? Hear any yeses? Yeah. Yeah. We went back to school with three small kids. Judy finished her last year in Greenville College, and I took a full load of courses. It was an amazing year together. Yeah, and that's kind of an aside. Anyway, when we think of the what's been happening, I'm sure we wildly cheered for Summer McIntosh coming home with the gold in swimming and the silver, and for the lady who won the shot put and the other lady who won the hammer throw, but the race that really electrified us was the 4x100 men, I think. I just turned up. Am I close enough? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I guess that was. Yeah. Anyway, to see the Canadian crew put it all together, and none of them had gotten any medals, but they did it all together, that is. And what a smooth race it was to watch. It was a pleasure. Well, when you realize the strict training and the 4 long years of strain and sacrifice, pain and supreme effort for those few seconds of glory, they are very temporary. And so when we think of the fact, the Apostle Paul, I'm sure the Apostle Paul read the Chronicle of Corinth, the sporting page, to see who just won in the Olympic Games and the Isthmian Games that were just outside of the city of Corinth. Can't you imagine him reading the sports page? Otherwise, I don't think he would have included the passages in Scripture that we have. Because, very definitely points to the fact that the Olympics can make a difference if we apply that to our spiritual life. When the Apostle Paul fled Thessalonica and was beaten and run out of town, he arrived in Corinth. He was scared to death. And the Lord Jesus had to appear to him in a dream and say, "Paul, I have many people in this immoral, wicked city. Do not be afraid." So Paul is calling us as believers to get ready for our Olympic race. We are in an Olympic race. It's a spiritual race. It starts at the cross of Christ. If you have come to faith in Christ, that those are the starting blocks. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, so that when we come to him, we have nothing in our hand but our failures and our sin. And at the cross, Christ died so that we can live. And that's the starting blocks for our spiritual Olympic race. And we're going to read about it. That race is for you and is for me. And you're in the race, I'm in the race, and we're in the race. And so if you have your Bibles, turn with me. Turn with me to one of the places that the Apostle Paul began to speak about those kind of games, of the Isthmian Games or the Olympic Games. And our songs just fit in so beautifully. And Paul says, "Don't you know? Do you not know?" Of course we know. And that's what he's saying. Do you not know? You don't just go to the starting blocks and stay there. Do you not know that those who are in a race all run? So as Christians, are we still in the starting blocks, or are we on the track? We should be on the track, shouldn't we? So he says, "Do you not know?" Yes, we know. And those who are on the starting blocks to start, it's time to run. Run. And he says, "Run in such a way that you may obtain." Everyone that gets into athletics, if they're not in the race to win, We shouldn't be there, should we? I mean, I didn't go into a race with the hope of not winning. No. And so we're in the race to win. And if you don't know the Lord, you need to come to the cross. You see, through the city of Corinth, there ran a road. It was the Appian Way. It was the Roman road. So I want to share a little of the Roman road with you. The Roman road is Romans 3 and 23. It says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We come to the cross because we need to be there to have our sins forgiven us. That's the place we need to be. We need to come to the cross. And Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death. We're done. We can't make it. We're dead. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus offers a free gift from the cross to those that believe in him. Romans 4 and verse 5. These are Awana verses, by the way. Romans 4 and verse 5 says, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly," and we're all qualified, "justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God." The peace treaty between us and God has been settled at the cross if we have trusted in him. "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God." How are we doing on the Roman road? Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "God demonstrates his love toward us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." That's the Roman road. And we can know Christ as our Savior and know that we are born into God's family. So the starting gate is the cross of Christ, and the future is the glory with Christ at the end of the road, wherever that may be. Christ is coming back. If he came back now, he's coming for his church, taking us to heaven. At the rapture, we will be taken to heaven, and then he's going to come with his church when he comes back at the end of the tribulation time. So the race is there. And the reason I know that the Apostle Paul is talking about his own race is because he puts it in the first person. He said, "And everyone who competes for the prize," it was in the Olympic Games in those days, or the Isthmian Games, there was only one prize. And this is the prize. Would you have spent 2 or 4 years of practicing to get a pine bough to go around your head? And at the end of how many days? All those pine needles fall off. That was their crown. They were crowned with it around their head. That's what they competed for. Now we are much more sophisticated. We get 3 medals to fight for, a gold, a silver, and a bronze. And I think they took the chunk of the Eiffel Tower to make the medal, medals that are given out. I don't think they're solid gold. They may have a little bit of paint on them. These are temporary and yet, oh, it's exciting. I am excited. I was excited when the men won. But think of it. It says, now they do it to obtain a perishable crown. They can't take that with them. Therefore, Paul said, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one beating the air. He wasn't just shadow boxing. He was in a real fight. And then he said, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. Why? Lest when I have preached to others, I am disqualified. Now, he's not talking about salvation. He's talking, there's a prize. There's a prize for every Christian in their Christian walk with Christ. But I can disqualify myself. And we don't want to do that, do we? We want to hear the well done at the end of the race. Now, we know that it's possible to disqualify because Moses, that great leader, he was told when the children of Israel, a couple million or 3 million people out in the desert, had no water, God said to him, go to the rock and strike the rock. And he did. And out gushed enough water to water their animals, those 3 million people. It must have been quite a river that came from the rock. But the children of Israel were a hard bunch to manage. And it came around, and they needed water again. And God said to Moses, just speak to the rock. And he went out there, and he said, listen, you rebels. And he took his rod, and he struck it twice. And Jesus has never been struck, and he spoiled what God asked him to do. And for that, he was disqualified. I stood on the mountain of Nebo, where Moses stood, and God had said, because you did that, you cannot go into the land of promise. He could see it, and later on, 1,500 years later, he stood on the Mount of Transfiguration with Elijah and the other three apostles. Yes, it's possible to disqualify. But yet, even on our race, we can, if I lie. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Ever have a kid that disobeyed you? They don't, do they? Well, how do they get back in your good books? When you get after them, they say, Dad, I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. And everything is forgiven, right? If we confess our sin, the word is homologos. Homologos is like you go to the store and you buy homogenized milk. It's all the same. It says the word logos is word. We say it just as God said. You lied? I'm sorry, Lord. I lied. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just. He's the one who paid for my sin and can cleanse me from all unrighteousness. See, isn't that something to shout hallelujah for? Oh, yeah. Thank you, Lord. And we can get back on God's highway. That's part of the Olympic story from 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. Through 27. Turn in your Bibles with me to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 is a great passage for all those that can see. Hebrews chapter 12. Sorry. Here again we have this Olympic setting. There, in the Olympic Games, there's the people out in the stands, right? They're there to cheer. There's the race people, the participants. And so in Romans, or in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, therefore, what's this therefore? Therefore is a word that says, therefore, what has gone on in the past, we need to consider. Chapter 11 is God's faith hall of fame. There's a sports hall of fame in hockey, in baseball. This is God's faith hall of fame from the Old Testament. And so he says, therefore, and the last of the verse in chapter 11 says, and these, having obtained a good testimony, that's what I want when I get to the end of my life, that God could say that I have had a good testimony as I live my life. It says, for all of these, having obtained a good testimony through faith in Christ, did not receive the promise. They're waiting for the podium. They're waiting for the prize. They're waiting. Someday it's going to happen. We're going to stand before the Lord and give a review account of what we've done. It's not for salvation. It's for the work that God has given us to do. Each of our races is different. But the way we achieve what God wants us is the same. We have to bring glory to Jesus Christ, to give glory to his honorable and wonderful name. So here in chapter 12, we have this great stadium. We have the, and it says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run. We can be in the race and stay in the on the starting blocks, but God wants us to run our race for him. We have kids to raise for his glory. We have neighbors to reach with the good news of salvation. And we have a race to run. And we're surrounded by people that encourage us. It's good for us elders. We can encourage each other. The Sunday school teachers can encourage one another. The young parents can say, well, this really was a help in raising our kids. And we can surround ourselves by those that are a help and an encouragement. And that's what, I believe it was Paul who wrote Hebrews, but his name isn't here. But he is saying we're surrounded. We're like in the stadium. There's thousands. Yeah, I guess there's millions. But there are people that have finished the race successfully. That's a yay, isn't it? That's an encouragement for us. We don't need to stumble. We can look at their lives and be helped. And then it says, let us. There's 13 lettuces, heads of lettuce in the book of Hebrews. Let us. Bad joke, I know. led us, but it includes us, doesn't it? It's us. It's not us. This is not a single thing. It's let us. Anyway, let us lay aside every weight. Now, 100 years ago exactly, Eric Lindell was an Olympian. He was a marvelous Christian young man. His parents were missionaries in China, and his brother, his older brother, his sister, and himself were placed in a home in London, and he grew up, and he was fast. He was the fastest man, they feel, in all of the British Commonwealth. He won races everywhere. He was a young man. And he was nominated to be on the Olympic team. And so he agreed to go and found out that the race that he was to run in went against his Christian convictions. He believed that he should not run on the Sabbath or on Sunday. Now, that was his conviction. And if he had violated it as a Christian, he would have violated his conscience towards God. And so he said, I can't run on that, in that race. It was a 100-meter race, and that was a race that he was the fastest in. And he said, no, I can't run. And he had a little bit of time to train, and he submitted his name for the 400-meter race. Now, a 400-meter race is a lot different than a sprint. And so when he raced, and he didn't race on the Sabbath, on the Sunday, his race was in the middle of the week. He broke the record. He broke the record. His record stood for some time. His daughter and his wife was actually a Canadian. But anyway, Eric Lindell went to China as a missionary and ended his life in China there. But when he broke the record, then this 100-year anniversary, his granddaughter took his medal and took it to the college that he graduated from in Scotland and left it there as a memorial to this awesome, godly man. One of his colleagues said, I never knew a man so godly. That's Eric Lindell. What a tribute. But he ran his race. He was in the spiritual Olympics. Are you with me? Are you in it? Are you giving it? Are you going to run? Are you going to? And if the Apostle Paul said, I do all this so that I don't disqualify myself, we need the Holy Spirit of God to help us on our road. So we're surrounded by these people that have finished the race and are waiting for their medal in heaven. But we are to lay aside the sin. We are all so prone to slip up. So we lay aside the sin. We lay aside the weight and the sin that so easily besets us. And then there's a great phrase here. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We need to set our eyes on Jesus. He's our author of the race that he put us in, and he will help us throughout it. So we are to run our race. And then There's a great picture here, and I'm going to just read it. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run the race with endurance. It's a long distance race. It's from once we're a Christian to the time we go to glory, whether that's short or long. It's a long distance race. And we're to run with endurance the race set before us. He has given you a race to run. And he will give you the strength to run it. My race has not been your race, but your race is not my race. But we look to our coach, our commander, and our coming king. And it says, who's that? It's Jesus. Who for the joy that was set before him? He wasn't ashamed of the cross. He endured it. He took our shame and endured the cross so that, and he despises the shame and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God on high. And then it says, consider him. We are to consider Christ, what he endured for us. The hostility from sinners against ourselves. Have people given you a bad time because you're a Christian? Jesus was given a bad time. He was nailed to a cross. And it says, lest we become weary and discouraged in our souls. So, Paul, how did you do? I have a little clip that I found this morning. It says, unsinkable ships sink. Think of one? Titanic. Broken walls fall down. Unbendable steel still bends when the winds blow strong and long. We need help. We need each other. We need Christ to look to. Well, the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians said, in verse 9. No. I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong book. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And verse 9, therefore, we make it our aim, whether present, that means in our body, or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That's a bema seat of Christ. It's a place where we receive awards. We are going to be on call. We have to be there if we're Christians. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one, then individually, may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Okay? We have to give an account for what we have done, good or bad. And we say, maybe we haven't done as well as I think what we can do. But then we say, okay, Paul, you were afraid that perhaps you would be disqualified. Were you? 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul gives his own account. And he says, I have fought a good fight. He is an Olympian. I have fought a good fight. I have finished the race. Good going, Paul. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Where is he going to receive that? At the judgment seat of Christ. So can we. And that's what he says. Which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day when we're all there at home. And not to me only. Yeah, not to me only. There's a reward for you and there's a reward for me. And we can run. Can we run a race? Yes. Can we succeed? Yes. Is he coming back for us? Are we watching and looking for his coming? Yes. And not for me only, but also for all who love his appearing. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you're coming back. And Lord, we can all be looking forward to your coming. And we can adjust on our racetrack. And you will help us. We are surrounded by great men of faith. But Lord, we're just ordinary people. But we have an extraordinary Lord. And we want to run our race to please you as Paul did. And we know that he one day will receive that crown of righteousness. Help us to run with endurance the race that you have set before us. And Lord, I remember as a little boy thinking that you might come, and that helped me to put my faith and trust in you. Lord, if there's anybody here who doesn't know you yet, we pray that they might come to the foot of the cross and surrender to you their life and begin that race, that Olympic race for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All God's people said, amen. I can't see that clock. I'm not sure what it says. It's about five after. Ministry team.